We're in Luke 21, 34 through 36. Luke 21, 34 through 36. This passage in Luke 21 concerns us with the second coming of Christ. Christ has already come once. You know, those that lived in the Old Testament times, Christ hadn't come yet. But he was foretold to come in the Old Testament, and he fulfilled that prophecy by coming the first time. Now, if he came the first time, he's going to come the second time. And this is what Luke 21 talks about. Now, the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ regarding his second coming that is recorded for us in Luke 21 is given so that his people are not caught unawares. You know, we are to be discerners of the times that we live in. So many folks, they just go from day one of life to the last day of life, not discerning the times that they live in. A lot of folks don't even know where they came from. They don't know, they have no interest in their heritage or their ancestry. And I don't know who my great-grandfather was. I don't know where I came from. They have no understanding of their heritage, kind of like Esau was. Couldn't care less about his birthright and just sold it willy-nilly to Jacob. But as people of God, we are to be discerners of the times and not caught unawares. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. He's described this great happening, this happening of his second coming, to occur at the end of a season which by certain events will be revealed to those who are looking for his appearing. Are you looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you are, if you're sensitive to that appearing, God will reveal to you the season of that coming, according to this scripture. Now, it's like coming to foothills after a long trek through the plains, for when the foothills appear, the mountains will soon be coming into view. You ever done that? Driven out through the plains of the Midwest? And you start getting in the foothills. Wow, is this an indicator of something to come? Momentous events are in my future because I'm in the foothills. And what are those momentous events? The mountains, the Rockies. Aren't the Rockies tremendous? But the foothills of which Jesus Christ tells us are announcers of the great events which will culminate in his glorious return to set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. Do you know that Jesus Christ is going to be in charge of this earth, physically present on this earth? That's what the Bible teaches. A lot of folks don't believe that. They don't believe in a millennial kingdom on this earth. But my Bible teaches that. I think their Bible teaches that too, but they don't wish to know it. But those are the foothills that God's revealing to us that the mountains are soon to be. But unless you are prepared for these announcers, these foothill announcers, your heart will be burdened with excessiveness in many things. That's what Jesus Christ is warning his disciples of. There's going to be excessiveness in many things in your life if you're not looking for my appearing. And these many things, we're told, will cause hearts to fail. You know, hearts fail. All of a sudden, a person is doing something, and the next thing, his heart's failed. That last beat has taken place. Why is that? Well, in this day, it's going to be because of fear of that which is coming upon the earth. So Jesus Christ is careful to provide instruction to his own that they be prepared for these horrendous events which will befall this planet prior to his coming. He wants you to be ready, that your heart not fail for fear. He has said, as we said last week in our lesson, that the generation that sees the foothills will be around to see the mountains. Now, we know from Scripture that those who have been redeemed are not appointed unto wrath. And Jesus Christ will take those out of this world before the climax of these great events occurs. We know that from Scripture. There's going to be a calling out of his people. He's calling out of the church. The wrath will be full after that. But this does not mean that they will not go through many of the beginning dreadful and frightful events of this coming age. It's clear from this Scripture. So he instructs his disciples in what to do during this time. For he says in Luke 21, 34 through 36, this is our Lord's instruction to us. Now faith dictates to us that we believe the Lord and do what he says. That's what faith. You say, I have faith. Well, do you have faith? Having faith is not only knowing the word, but doing the word. You know, knowing the word and do a lot of knowers of the word, but where are the doers of the word? Jesus Christ tells us this so that we're prepared for this horrible time that is going to befall this planet. He says in verse 34, and take heed to yourselves. Okay, this is a time when you've got to pay attention to yourself. Now, the servant's heart is toward others. This time here, he says, pay attention to your own heart. Pay attention to yourself here, because you've got to do something for yourself if you're going to get through this time. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. You know, you don't want to overcharge a battery. You don't want to take a 6-volt battery and apply 25 volts to it. Why? Well, that acid heats up and that battery will explode. Well, that's what he's saying here. Don't let your hearts explode. This is going to be a time where hearts are going to explode. They're going to fail because of the great things that take place on the earth. Don't let your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. He wants alert children. He wants children to know the times. He wants children to know what's taking place, so they can look up and say, the Lord's coming. Isn't this wonderful? The Lord's coming. For as a snare, I've never been caught in a snare. Oh, I've seen accounts where someone's walking through the woods and they step in a bear trap. And those claws, they just almost cut through the leg. Never been caught in that. But this is the description that the Lord is giving. People are going to be walking through the world ensnared by the traps of this world. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the disciples of Christ are given a command to watch and to pray always. You know, God expects us to have our eyes open. God expects us to know the dangers. God expects us to use the sword of the Spirit. He expects us to put on the whole armor of God that we might not be defenseless. You know, There are Christians out there that are walking defenseless because they have not put on the armor of God. God doesn't want that for you. He loves you. You know, you mothers, when it's cold outside, you say, put on your coat, son. Put on your coat, daughter. It's cold outside. Why do you do that? Well, you don't want your children to get sick. You don't want them to be uncomfortable and cold. So you put on the armor of the coat. Well, the same thing with the Lord. Wants us to be armored against these things that are to befall. So the possibility is indicated in this passage that believers who are alive at the time of these beginning signs will be sleeping. That's what's indicated to me. There's going to be sleeping saints. But they will not only be sleeping, they will be weighed down with all kinds of debilitating activities and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And because they are not watching and praying, they will be caught in the same trap in which the world is caught. You know, the world is designed to entrap you. The way of life today is so busy. It's so ensnaring. The material world is calling you to bind you. Did you know that? You know, I walk through Walmart and it's almost sickening as to how many things that are in there. Do we need all those to live? You know, I'm not a shopper. Maybe that's what it is. I go in there and I walk three or four steps in Walmart and all of a sudden I'm just worn out. I don't know what it is. I can work outside all day and I'm hardy, but not in a store. I don't know what it is. But the world's designed to ensnare you with the love of things. And these folks that he's talking about are caught up in the business of this life because they're not watching and praying. You know, we have to have a quiet time with the Lord. Quiet time. Shut off this, shut off that. If the air conditioning bothers you, shut that off. Get in the closet. Spend some time with the Lord because he needs to wash your feet. You know, we walk around with dirty feet and we refuse the Lord to wash them each day. But just like Peter, after he was rebuked, he said, wash my feet, Lord. So the signs of his coming will be brushed aside by the lost. You know, I don't know about this global warming business. I don't know if it's true or not true. There's been ages in the past where this has happened, but this scripture talks about the roaring of the sea. You know, that could be connected. People see this as natural causes. They're caused by natural things. They want to blame it on the carbon emissions. And that's what they'll do when these things happen. They'll blame it on natural things, blame it on men that are doing these things instead of focusing attention on God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. So it'll be brushed aside. All of these things will be brushed aside by the lost, and many saints will not comprehend what's going on because they're sleeping. Now, the reason is not in a lack of evidence or of signs, but of a dullness of mind and heart, which causes the saint to miss these signs and to fail to see them as such. Now, this should not be. For as I said, our Lord arms us with all that is needed that we be not caught unawares. So the Lord tells us, include this in your prayer request. Do you have a list of prayers that you pray for? That you include in your prayer time? Here's one that you should add. very specifically told us by the Lord in this passage. Add this to your prayer list. The prayer which you are to bring to God always is that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's the prayer request we're to put in our prayers according to the Scriptures. Now, our Lord is specific as to how he will find those that are caught unawares. There's going to be many caught unawares. They'll be thinking that these things are just natural forces that are occurring as they have done before. Where's the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were, the Bible says, by the scoffers. Where's the promise of his coming? You Christians are saying, the Lord is coming, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? All things are as they were before. You know, get real. That's the message that you'll get from the scoffers. So he tells us how he will find those who are this way, who are caught unawares. He talks about dissipation. Now, dissipation is the using up of the body by excess. You know, doing things in excess. There used to be an old saying, I don't think it's much said anymore, but moderation in all things. I think the word all is maybe a little bit too much, because there's a lot of things that you wouldn't want to be moderate in that at all. But in general, it's true. But you know, we get ourselves caught up in excessive things. We go to the extremes in a lot of things. But dissipation is the using up of the body by excess. Dissipation is properly the hangover after a binge or carousal. Not a happy time. Our Lord Jesus Christ warns us not to be burdened with surfeiting. Now, surfeiting means oppressing the system by excessive eating and drinking. You know, the average weight of the American has gone up. You know, obesity is in the news, is it not? Excessiveness. He's warned us not to be burdened with surfeiting. It means loading or filling to disgust. It is the description that would be used to describe a sot, a drunkard, a souse, one who would be lying in the gutter from oppressing the system by drink. Jesus Christ is warning the saint to not let the events of the world dictate his behavior instead of letting the Word of God do so. We talked about that in the opening this morning. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, instead of all of this excessiveness. But the events in that day will be so frightful and alarming that they will drive many to drink, and even the saints who allow themselves will be caught unawares. So he talks about drunkenness. For drunkenness is the cause of dissipation. The reference to drunkenness may be because of a temptation upon the saint to indulge in that which dulls his mind from the suffering of mankind and the chaos taking place in the created universe. What a frightful time this is going to be. This takes place in the saint who does not call upon the grace of God and who wishes to blot out the danger and the pain by anesthetizing his brain. There will be a great wish for dullness which alcohol provides. You know, when I read this reminded me of the admonition of Proverbs 31, 6 and 7, which says this, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. That'll be the spirit of many in that time. They're ready to perish. Fall upon us. This is the sinners, of course. Fall upon us. Talking to the rocks. Give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. But Jesus Christ is telling us here to not be ready to perish. Be ready to look up. He's not getting us ready to perish. He's getting us ready to look up. He's not wanting us to have a heavy heart, which requires the dulling of alcohol. For this is not that time, but this is a time for lifting up your heads and looking up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The world is doing this, but he's telling his children to do this. You know, we've got the Word of God on our side. Another great evil that dulls the mind is the preoccupation with the anxieties of life. Now, as we've gone through the book of Luke, we've seen his instruction regarding the anxieties of life. Those anxieties include the unnecessary and unbelieving worry about our food, our clothing, and our basic needs. The Lord's never let me down. I can attest to that. I don't believe the Lord's let you down. Everybody's well clothed. Everybody eats their meals. Everybody's housed. But in times of great persecution and worldwide upset, including famine, are you ready for that? Are you spiritually ready for a famine? Are you spiritually ready for these kind of times? Well, he's telling us that many will not be ready, and the weak saint will seem more justified to worry, fret, have their heart fail them because of that. You know, worry about such things only uses our energies toward worthless efforts. You know, the heart doesn't like worry. The heart doesn't function well with worry. The heart and worry are opposed to each other. But the Lord always provides a remedy for us so that we will not be included in the roster of the dull. You know, I don't want to be on that list. There's going to be a list of those that are not caught unawares and those that are caught unawares. I don't want to be on that list. I want to be aware of the times. Watchfulness or alertness toward the times in which we live is an antidote to apathy and dullness of heart and mind. That's why he's telling us, you know, the unknown is fearful. You ever been in a situation where you just didn't know versus another person that knows what's going on? Oh, the unknown is fearful, but the Lord is good to us, loves us, and doesn't want us to be in the roster of the dull. So Jesus Christ gives his children all that is needed to have a ready and expectant spirit, which will discern the times and know that the coming of the Lord is near. The second antidote to apathy and dullness of heart and mind is prayer. He says, watch and pray. Be alert to the times and pray. Be alert to the times, pray. Keep your connection with me strong. Those who are not watching are not praying, and those who are not praying are also not watching. And prayer here is focused on being able to escape the destruction occasioned by the coming wrath of God. Be amongst the saved. Be in the roster of the saved. Don't be in the roster of the lost. The coming of the Lord to unbelievers will come as a thief in the night. But this does not have to be for believers. For believers are children of light. You know, the coming of the Lord will not come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-10 says this, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Jesus Christ has already told us about that. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But that's not the end of it. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Those that it comes upon as a thief in the night. But ye, brethren, I hope that's all of us, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You know, you can be a child of God and walk in the dim light. But you're not to walk in the dim light. You're to walk in the full light of the Word of God. Therefore, he says this, and he's embellishing what the Lord said here. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. You know, the children of God are to be awake to the times. But let us watch and be sober. Now, that sober you can take in two ways. Sober in attitude, and sober in your physical body. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So the message here is to be ready. I'm going to reveal to you through the scriptures ahead of time the season, and your response is not to be drunk, not to be dissipated in excess, not to be loaded down with the cares of this life, but to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I want Christ to come. Yes, I know it's going to be a horrendous thing for this earth, but the sooner the better, where he sets up his kingdom and righteousness reigns on this earth. Isn't that what we're about as Christian believers? And that's what this scripture is about. Looking up, knowing that our redemption draws nigh. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful instruction of Luke 21. And Lord, help us to pay attention to this. Oh, how we've heard many, many messages and lessons and sermons, and sometimes they go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, it ought not to be in Christians. It ought to be that which lays another brick in the foundation of knowledge of what is to come. Do bless our pastor this morning as he speaks to us. Help our hearts to receive that which he has for us, to go from here better prepared to watch and pray. For we ask it in Christ's name, amen.